Welcome to the Mama Bear Dares podcast. I'm Tessie.
And I'm Leslie.
And we are friends. We are sisters-in-law. We are two women who love to talk about the big things in life and the small things in life. We talk about it all, but what we know is universally true, that women are full of compassion and love. And they're also full of this mama bear spirit that allows us to anchor into it and then just move mountains, right? For our little cub bears, of course, but also we believe justice throughout the world, throughout your communities, throughout your families. And so that's what this podcast is doing. On Mondays, we showcase women that are doing that in their own either small spheres of influence or on bigger platforms. On Wednesdays, we get to have just a little bit of fun with our mama bear minis. But today, we're talking to one of those mama bears moving mountains with her love. Her name is Aireen Heidelberger. Not only is she the founder and CEO of Get Mom, but she was also just an incredible hostess for our day of podcasting in Chicago last month.
Aireen was such a generous host. We loved talking with her. Tessie, we talked to her for a long time,
actually,
the struggles and the joys of new motherhood, about the importance of sleep and schedule in children, and also some of the differences in men and women during this very intense stage of parenthood.
Yeah, one of the themes in our guests, I think you'll agree, is that they see a need, and then they decide they're going to be the ones to meet it. Mm-hmm. I just find this amazing and inspiring.
Yes.
And Aireen, in her case, her friends were kind of just flummoxed and overwhelmed at this new stage of parenting, right? And saw that she seemed to have it together. She had gotten it together. And they wanted to know what she was on and what she had. And so once she got talking to one of her friends, they said, you need to start a business. And then she did.
She did.
Yeah.
She did it. And that's big. I think most of us have been to the point where we think, like, someone should do this. Like, someone really needs to. But then she actually did it.
Yeah.
So I think both of us, Tessie, have experienced being moms before any of our friends moms. So we know how isolating and lonely that this can be. And Tessie, you and I have talked a lot about what it was like for me in Chicago without family around. And Aireen, she's just like, I wish I would have known her 12 years ago, because she has struck this chord for women like us who feel like they just don't even know where to start.
Leslie, I want to stop our laughter and then say, you had a stroke when you had new baby. Like, you are a stressed woman. We need to do a mini on that. How have we not thought about the mini on that? But, like, you really could have used Aireen at the time, right?
Oh, boy, Aireen, where were you?
So what you'll hear in this conversation is just that she is such a good fit for a business like Get Mom, because this woman tells it like it is. Mm-hmm. I had never met her personally. I'd only heard really good things about her from my husband, who had met her at camp when she dropped her oldest son off. And the second I walked into her house with my shoes on, she was like, don't you dare step on my floors with those shoes or I'll kill you. And honestly, it charmed me. I was like, I know exactly.
I'm going to admit it. Aireen, no.
But it charmed me because they know where they stand with Aireen. And I think that's why she has this successful business. They want someone that's confident and secure. And she's got to be just a balm for the women who are feeling anything but those two things, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Her clients, they do. They know exactly what they need, and she is able to provide it.
Yep.
So Aireen's main goal with Get Mom is to give women their confidence back. Give moms the confidence they need. And I just think that's such an admirable goal. And we have so much more that we could say, I guess, about this conversation, but we want you to hear it straight from her. So let's get into it. Aireen Heidelberger is the CEO and founder of Get Mom, a full-service parent coaching and advice company that helps to empower moms by offering effective parenting techniques and help with common parenting battles.
Her techniques have been featured on the Today Show and Fox News Chicago. Erin is a wife and a mom to three young sons and also a welcoming host, it turns out.
Well, yes, welcome.
So, you made it. Thanks for hosting us here in your home today, Erin, and welcome to the Mama Bear Dares podcast.
Thanks, guys. Nice to meet you.
Let's get into the podcast and talk a little bit about you and the really cool stuff you're doing here in Chicago. We always like to start just asking how our guests grew up, and we are specifically interested in how you were parented, because really most of our listeners are moms, and that's kind of their hook into the podcast. So maybe, you know, what would your parents say about you growing up that's still true today?
Well, so here's the thing. I'm a completely different person from how I was as a child. I was extremely shy. I was never around people. I would just go into a corner and be alone. And they felt that was not right. That was a little weird. And so they sent me, I'm Jewish, and they sent me to a Catholic school to be with the nuns, so that they could give me special one-on-one to pull me out of the cave, because my parents were like, whoa, what is happening here? I know, right? And so now what's so interesting is I'm on national television and speaking engagements and working one-on-one clients. Like, I am now the confident voice to people.
Yeah.
Whereas when I was a little girl, I was like, no eye contact, so shy,
oh my
so
gosh.
Afraid. I grew up in a home. My parents divorced when I was one. My mother remarried when I was six. And so I was very confused. Like, who's my daddy? And they really didn't have the tools to help me figure that out. But we all, you know, grew up together. And my dad lived about an hour away. But I also consider my stepfather, who I lived with, you know, my entire childhood, also be my father. So I had two fathers. And my mother worked full-time. She had a gift shop. She did not live a healthy life. She was very manic, chaotic. She was a screamer. That was my mother. And then my real father, to this day, is an extreme introvert. No friends, no family. I'm his family. Nobody. He didn't remarry, no kids. And then there was my stepfather, who was like, in the middle of the road. And so I spent, you know, 95% of my time in a pretty chaotic, disorganized home with a mother who had her own shop, and people loved her. People would drive in from Iowa to see her. They would come in and spend an entire day and do their Christmas shopping. And then there was me, and then my sister, who came along 8 years later. And that was a strange dynamic, just because, again, we already had a bizarre threesome, and now we have a foursome, and with three parents who really had no skills and who are working a ton. And my whole childhood, I just kept saying, I don't want to do it this way. I want to have family time. I want to have my family around, my mother. I want to have organization. I don't want to have piles on the stairs. I don't want to open up the car door and there's like everywhere. Yeah. Like, you know, put the stuff in the back seat so there's room to sit. I didn't want everything to be a struggle and negotiation. And I just wanted to have an easy childhood. And they both did pass away. Not my real father, my stepfather, my mother, who stayed married through a crazy tumultuous marriage. They loved each other, but they were insane together. and they both died before they were 60.
Wow.
And I know. You know why? Because they were mentally and physically ill. And whenever I was with my father, we would go and stay with my grandmother. And I've now realized through therapy that I morphed into her. Every night of the week was the same recipe. Monday, meatloaf. Tuesday, chicken.
Really?
And everything was just ship shape, as you can see in my home. And so I would leave the chaos and go there once a week and have sleepovers and wake up early, and there would be breakfast and there would be home.
Yeah.
That was a sense of family. And
was this your maternal or
this
paternal?
Was my paternal.
Okay.
The maternal grandmother also died before she was 16.
Wow.
I know. So thank God my health is after my father.
Yeah.
And I have realized I am grateful to both all of these experiences because, thankfully, my stepfather and my mother taught me you work hard, you suck it up, you smile, you fake it till you make it. And my paternal grandmother taught me how to be in control and be organized and look pretty and feel good about yourself and take care of yourself. And then my real father, he just is like, cool. Anything goes, whatever you need, whatever you want, I'm just here to support. So I've realized all of these like totally bizarre experiences shaped me to be who I am. Mm-hmm. And I realized growing up that was not the way to be. And as I became an adult and as I had my first son 12 years ago and it did not go well, I said to myself, I don't want to live like this. You know, I was like, I'm going to get into this and figure this out because this is no way to live. I hate feeling this way. And what do I need to do? Mm-hmm. And I sought therapy. So all of the crazy childhood taught me and brought me to this point. And somehow I guess being raised, like learned these tools to be proactive and seek self-help and fix this stuff.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And then help others too, which is so interesting.
I know. It's really interesting. So yeah. I have... we have created quite a extreme life, as you can see by our home. But growing up on food stamps and the yelling and the screaming makes me realize the hard work has gotten me and my husband to this point. You know, mm-hmm. we weren't just handed paycheck to get here.
Right.
So I am grateful that my mother made me this person today. But I know that it is me who is like keeping this going.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And I think we actually interviewed someone from St. Louis who also was talking about her kind of past and it's trauma. I mean, you experienced
trauma
growing up,
yeah.
You know, and how motherhood was really what made her aware of the trauma. Mm-hmm. You know, you can go through life when you're single or even when you're married and just kind of assume, I've got this all handled. Like, yeah, some crazy stuff happened to me and it was not always great. It was out of control. Mm-hmm. But now I'm in control. I have this handled. And then motherhood's like, bam, no, you don't.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And that's what you just said. Like, you had your first son and you're like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Right. It catches up to you if you haven't looked at it, you know?
Right. Totally. It caught up to me. And, right, I had a great pregnancy and I had a great, you know, and great preparation going into it. All the bells and whistles were tidy. But it was like the actual tools on how to be a parent, how to handle all the crying and the anxiety merge it all together.
Yeah.
So take us back to that time a little bit when you first became a mom 12 years ago. Perhaps we walked by each other carrying
a
baby on city streets.
Leslie was lost. You knew where you were going.
Well, I knew where I was going, but I was like, oh my God, I have to hurry up, Cole needs a bottle. We're running late.
Yeah.
Right, and Leslie's just like,
where am I? What's happening?
So yeah, take us back to that time. What was it like for you?
All right, my pregnancy was great. We planned to get pregnant. We got married. We got pregnant like days later. Like we were like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
I can't believe it, but like this is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole pregnancy, like I didn't stress about the birth plan or the car seats. Like I had a nice tidy list. This is the crap you buy. You go to Babies R Us. You register. You know, it was like, all right, we're cool. So then Cole's born and we're in the hospital bed, just he and I. And I remember just like looking at him like, who are you? What is this? And I was like, I don't really feel much for you. But I also was like, I'm not really too concerned that I'm looking at you like, what is this?
Yeah.
Like the whole thing, having a baby is totally bizarre. and I'm not like the most touchy, feely, warm and sensitive kind of chick. I'm very businesslike, very black and white. So it didn't shock me that I wasn't like all right. mushy-gushy. Mm-hmm. Okay, I've never been, I'm just not that way.
Yeah.
I'm just not that way.
Yeah.
So Brian and I, we bring Cole home. We had hired a baby nurse for 2 weeks because we didn't have a great support of right. the grandparents. Sorry if anyone's listening. and also we only had a 2-bedroom loft with, you know, the walls don't go up to the ceiling. We're like, we don't have space for this. And we knew we didn't know what we were doing, and we were like open to having someone come in and just take the reins. Mm-hmm. Okay. So she was awesome. She was like waiting in the kitchen. She'd already grocery shopped. She had dinner waiting. She's like, I've never seen a like more stocked nursery. And she was just like, you guys couldn't believe it. So she just really calmed me. She like got me on the boob. She introduced, bottles of formula. Cause I knew it's not me. Not hippy dippy. Not going the full year. To be honest, I breastfed to lose the weight. I'm going to say it. I don't care.
I breastfed. Honesty is celebrated.
That's right.
Yes. Yes.
You know, let's not mince words, you know? And to shrink the uterus. And yeah. we also did the pacifier. And she's like, there's no such thing as, you know, nipple confusion. Just, like, get on it. We're like, all right. So, and she also, like, helped get Brian, like, into the groove and just like set a good routine. Okay. So then she moves out after 2 weeks, right? And then it's just me. Okay. Which was fine. I was fine. But then I was fine like handling the feeding and the swaddling and the naps and the cribs, but I wasn't fine handling my brain. And I didn't realize at the time, but I was just having so much anxiety because I was constantly swiffering. I could never sit down. I was polishing furniture. We had brick that was always little pellets that were falling on the furniture. So I was, you know, shining that. And I was rushing. You know, I didn't know any differently. So this was just who I became. So then at 4 weeks old, Cole starts to have the witching hour.
Oh, yeah.
Mine didn't, but yeah.
All of your, like, 800 kids got down the witching hour. Okay. All right.
Yes, I am familiar with the witching hour. So I feel like we haven't outgrown the witching hour.
You just evolved into something else.
Right. Other than different mania. Now.
Just looks a little different.
All right. So let's explain. The witching hour typically happens when a baby's 4 weeks old and they just, like, scream from, like, 4 to 9 p.m. Like, uncontrollably, there's nothing
so
you can
hour
do.
So means hours.
Hours. Like, 4 or 5 hours nonstop. And this, like, stressed me the fuck out for obvious reasons. So we're in a 2-bedroom apartment in the city. We don't have walls. And I'm like, you suck, kid. Like, this is sucking.
Not what I signed up for.
No.
Right?
Yeah. And I was, like, sitting on the bed, staring out. We had a beautiful apartment on the river. And it'd be, like, 5:30 and all the, like, young single people are coming home and shuffling from work, and I'm like, oh god, those were the days. Like, look at you people, like living the dream. And I was like, this sucks. So my husband Brian is like, you know what, I was in Coley's room, I'm breastfeeding him in that rocker, in this beautiful, you know, designer room, and he was standing there and with his arms crossed, like, you know what, babies cry, just like get over it. And I'm, like, doing this, the boob, and I'm like, no. I'm like, just go away from me. Like, you bug me. And I realized it wasn't postpartum. That wasn't postpartum because I did have postpartum with the second two children. I had that moment of, like, just stop talking to me. Like, you really bother me. But I didn't say it. And I ended up, my very first blog post I wrote for the Huffington Post was titled Babies Cry, Get Over It, and what I did to rally and get through that situation with my husband. Okay, so he was like, you need to get some tools to figure out this witching hour. I'm like, no shit. You know, like I said, my mom and I were not close. She was in another state, and I didn't have any close girlfriends with babies close in age. Because you gotta, like, your village has to be with a mom whose baby is close in age. Because everyone forgets, and no one really gives a shit. Like, unless they're in it with you, then they're like,
oh. So true.
Because they're just, like, out for themselves. And then they, like, want to banter back and forth, which I understand. Yeah. Okay, so he's like, you should call my friend's wife, who has a child a couple months older, and just ask her, like, why is Cole crying so much? So I did. And she was so caring and calm, and she, like, listened to me, and then she literally said to me, okay, just just get a piece of paper and I need you to write some things down. And I was like, okay. So I stood at the kitchen counter and she just like gave me 8 ideas of what to do for the witching hour. And I was like, well, that's amazing. And this was before reality TV, before YouTube, like before any of the stuff that we now all rely on. Mm-hmm. And I thought, why isn't there a parenting resource like this where you just like open up the book, you know, put it to the chapter, witching hour, and then there's like 5 things.
Yeah.
Boom. Instead, there were like all these tomes, like 800 page tomes of the things to read. And I was like, I'm too tired. Like, I can't even read this or like comprehend it. You know, I wasn't able to solve the witching hour, but I was able to understand there's nothing I can do about it. It is going to end, which made me feel a lot better. Mm-hmm. And then I started going to, every Tuesday at the AMC movie theaters, the Mom movie.
I totally used to go.
Do you remember that? Do you go to 600 Michigan?
Yes.
I know, right?
Yes. Well, you're
so funny. So every Tuesday at 10 a.m., they would play a movie for adults. You can bring your baby. The lights were dim. And just, like, do whatever the hell you need to do with your boobs. And there you go.
Amazing.
So I would go, and I met this incredible group. And it ended up, we grew. We were 12 women. Babies were all within a couple months of each other. And I would show up, sit down. And I remember the very first question I asked was about diaper rash. Because remember, I didn't have anyone to ask.
Yeah.
And I was, like, totally pissed. Like, I couldn't call my mom and because I was like, what is this? But, I you know, so I sat down. I'm like, what is this? They're like, oh, just use this and be done. Like, A&D. To this day, my 12-year-old, if he doesn't wipe well, he's like, oh. Yeah. I'm like, okay.
I still know what you need.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. I'm like, I learned about this in the Mom movie. And 12 years later, we will fix your butt. And so, like, little did I know that I was creating the routine of getting out of the house, getting my ass in gear, and going and finding women to support me and my brain and have commonalities. We were doing something that we had all done and taken for granted before babies and having to, like, pack up all the crap in the stroller and truck to the theater. And then we would go to lunch. And then we would, like, see each other next week. And I realized, like, I'm forever grateful to them. And everyone needs their village.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. I could not agree more.
Well, and that, I mean, from the first thing you said with your nanny.
Yes.
Providing this guidance for you. Yeah. I was like, oh, that had to have started the seed for
it definitely started a routine. A routine.
Yeah, yeah. There are millions of people like you who don't have anyone who went before them that they can rely on,
right?
And so as soon as you said that, I'm like, oh, that had to have been, even though obviously at the time you were like,
concept.
I need to start this. And
I could barely
start anything.
But
looking back, that had to have been one of the things that made you passionate about providing guidance.
Yes,
to other
because
people.
I realized by having that calm, organized set of just like items and the food and this is what you're gonna do and you're gonna sit here and you're gonna use this pillow, and it was just like very methodical because to her she is who I am now within my business and so it was just like, just do this,
yeah,
you know. And I mean, I have to take credit that I was like malleable.
Well, yeah,
I was receptive to, you know, whereas I'm sure she has plenty of other new mommies who are like, no. Or they're calling their mom, like, she's, you know, or calling her girl.
Yeah. Yes.
So, but no, I, there's no question that she helped set, like, a strong foundation and help us be calm.
Yeah.
Because then we didn't hire her for the next 2 pregnancies, or the next 2 births, because, she did such a good job.
Yeah. Yeah.
So tell us more about Get Mom. Maybe just the origin story. I mean, I was thinking when your friend on the phone, your new friend, was like, write these 8 things down.
Yeah,
like, I wondered if that was sort of...
Oh, that was 100%. So, it happened at that moment where I just was like, why isn't there a quick reference book of solutions? You know, like I said, your kid has a witching hour. Open it, you know, find a chapter, witching hour. Here's the 5 things. Here's pictures. This is what you can try, any of this. And I was just annoyed. There was just nothing quick to read. Everything 12 years ago was written by old male pediatricians.
Yes.
And the only things written were the 3 different styles of sleep training. And I was like, well, you know what? You've never had a baby. You are not, but first off, you have a baby, and so you are your body is just, like, wrecked, which makes your brain be even more tired mm-hmm. because your brain is trying to heal your body. And then you're trying to read, like, how to do this. And it was, like, pages and pages. I'm like, just tell me what to do.
Yeah.
Like, I can't, I don't care. I don't want to read this. I don't want to know your philosophy. Just tell me exactly the steps of what to do. Because, again, I'm just, like, very receptive, very black and white, and I don't have time to waste. Like, let's just get it done. Let's get it done and move on so we can do something else that we would rather do. Yeah, so it was really when it started with the witching hour, and then it went into when I wanted a sleep train, and I couldn't find any quick resource. Mm-hmm. So that is how Get Mom, that's really how Get Mom started.
So describe for our listeners what Get Mom is, when exactly you started it, what it's become for you.
Get Mom started 5 years ago as a conversation with pretty much my last free client, my last very close mom friend to move to the suburbs, and which is a natural thing that happens within the city of Chicago. Everyone kind of figures out their next, you know, chapter, and typically, you know, there's a huge migration out to the burbs. Mm-hmm. And I had a gym friend, and she was having her second child, and her first child, sorry, Lisa, is still a handful, and uh-huh. she did not want to make the same mistakes with her second child, and she's like, I can't go through this again, I can't do this, can you please help me? And I said, you know, I'll be honest, like, you know, I'm super busy, and this was even before having a business on mm-hmm. top of three kids, unless you can listen, like, I don't know what, right. I don't know that it's worth right. it. Mm-hmm. And because how I was raising my three boys compared to her only child, was completely different. And she's like, no. Like, I see it works. Like, I promise. I'm like, okay. So within 4 months, we had her daughter sleep through the night on a 4-nap schedule. And she's like, this is so easy. And I'm like, it really is.
Yeah.
It really is easy to have a baby when you feel confident to allow them to fuss and cry a little in order to get what you need. Because mm-hmm. your child is not going to die if right. it cries. It just isn't. Right. But as a new mom, you are stressed out. And crying makes you even more stressed out. So you want to do whatever you can to make the baby stop crying right away. Which then causes a complete tornado of really bad parenting, because then you're constantly coddling and doing everything for your child instead of just, like, realizing it's okay to let the child squirm and cry a little, because it will settle down and realize it's got to deal with itself, and just, like, mommy can go on with her day. And she's like, this is amazing, like, I love this. And she's like, you need a business. I'm like, you know, I know, you're right, I've been thinking about this, but, like, I have so much going on, I just had a third baby. And she's like, no, you need a business. So then, at that point, I'd never even been on Facebook. I hate all the social media. So I was like, okay, I know, you're right. She's like, no, I'm doing it. And literally, she put me on Facebook and LinkedIn awesome. And Twitter and all this mm-hmm. stuff. And so I created a business. So then I gave my very first, like, funny, just my very first workshop on the 7 principles of Get Mom. And number 1 and 2 are sleep and schedule. And that is, like, really the foundation to a Get Mom, because your children have to sleep so that you can sleep. And then they have to be on a schedule so that they know what they need, you know how to provide it, and then you know when you have your time mm-hmm. to do your happy stuff. And so I gave a workshop at one of my favorite gyms in the city, and Shred Floor 15, let's give them a plug. and they're awesome. And then people started contacting me That's to awesome. Have them come and work with them in their homes and fix their shit. And honestly, my very first client was a new mom. She had a 2-month-old, and they weren't married. They were living together. Her boyfriend was running the family tow truck business mm-hmm. because everyone was like, you're for the 1%. And I'm like, maybe mm-hmm. I am. Like, I don't know who I am. You know, I don't know who right, I'm
when
for.
When you're starting mm-hmm. out, you don't know.
You don't know. Yeah. And I'm like, mm-hmm. but I know what works. And, you know, no one's doing this. No one's, you know, I was at that point, the Super Nanny was on television. Mm. And so I was like, you know, a lower key friendlier, more goofy.
American.
Super nanny.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I had no idea, you know, who my people would be. Mm-hmm. And so that was my very first client. And so people constantly will still say to me, like, oh, you must just work with the rich. And I'm like, let's back it up. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Honestly, no. It's been, like, a super fun ride. And so that was my first client. And then I was like, oh, you know what? So when Wells, who was one at that point, I'm like, you know what? When he's in full-time school, I would love to be doing TV. And that would be, you know, the next chapter. Yeah. Well, 6 months later, here I am on TV. So I was like, oh, shit. Like, what now? I'm like, okay, so that's a monthly gig. And so I was like, where do I go from here? So then I'm like, well, I'm just going to write Arianna Huffington. Like, you should have me on Huffington Post. Like, and she wrote back, like, 2 days later, and I was in the car on Clark Street, and I looked at my phone. I'm like, what? Like, she wrote me back personally.
Listeners, this doesn't happen.
I know.
As freelance writers, that is very
totally
uncommon.
Insane.
That's amazing.
No, it's insane. But what I've learned is just, like, the whole fuck it thing.
Yeah.
Because I went to therapy when Get Mom first started, and I was like, well, what if it bombs? Like, and Monica, who is my person, she was like, trust me, nobody cares. The only people... Yes. Who are really close to you want you to succeed, and if you don't succeed, they will comfort you.
Yeah.
But everyone else, they don't care. Yeah. Nobody cares. And I'm like, you're totally right.
Yeah.
Because you know what? I've realized they can't even handle their own stuff, let alone mm-hmm. be worried about, you know, my failures.
Mm-hmm.
So I've really taken put myself out there, pitching, emailing, asking mm-hmm. for things. And you know what? Most things totally fall flat. In fact, I pitched like a lot of big guys in August. It's fallen flat. You know, no one has reciprocated yet. You know, and every time I see them, you know, I'm scrolling on Facebook, I'm like, you know, I'm like, hello, but I'm like, that's okay. Yeah. You know what? Someone's going to surface.
Yeah.
And I'm fine. You know?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So that is what happened. And so now it has really, I'm with clients a few days a week. I don't want to see people every day.
Yeah.
I don't want to shower every day. I really don't.
Crazy.
I don't care.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of time to shower.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of time to prepare.
Yeah.
And be with the family. And then I get in my car after I'm with the family and I'm like, wow, like you hired a psychic. Okay. Like I have to like take it, you know, like there's so much is going on. I work with a family for 1 hour at a time because at about 40 minutes we all start to glaze over.
Yeah.
And so much happens. And when I get in my car after and decompress by myself, I'm like, whoa, that great. You've got a psychic who said to hire me. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I go to the next one. And then, so I'm with clients and then I'm also blogging to keep the brand alive mm-hmm. and to grow it. And ultimately I would love like a big gun, like a what to expect or the bump, someone to buy the Get Mom brand
mm-hmm.
because there's not a brand out there who's serving mommy
mm-hmm.
and no one is out there saying that you can do it all. You cannot do it all at once, but here's how to do it all within the day and how to let go and how to prioritize and how to say no. Mm-hmm. And that's really like, I would love. And that was the original intent for the brand, was for a big guy to come along, to scoop me up mm-hmm. and you never know.
You never know. I love that.
That's gonna happen. Yeah.
Right.
So real quick, where'd the name come from?
Well, you know what? Brian, my husband, came up with it. He's like, get it together. Like everyone, like every day someone says, get it together, keep it together. Anytime I'm watching the Kardashians, like every Kardashian episode, I know I'm like still a loser, but I don't care. Like literally the brand was based on, my love of wine, Tebow and working out. And I realized if your kid sleeps and is on a schedule, you'll have enough time to watch TV, drink wine, and work out every single day. So I watch Kardashians. And, right, they always say, get it together. Every single person says get it together on a daily basis. And then, honestly, how to get... I guess we just shortened Get It Together, mm-hmm. and I knew it was going to be for moms. I don't like kids. I don't like babies. I hate all other people's babies. Like, I love mine. I love them. Like, they're, you know...
Yeah.
They're annoying. Nothing they, like suck the life out of me. But I knew I was never going to be... I was never going to be a baby whisperer. Mm-hmm. Baby. Like, that is so gross. And I always make sure that the babies are not around or the toddlers are not around when I work with the families. Because it's not about them. It is about mom. Number one, the partner has to respect mom and they have to respect each other and the parenting dynamic. And so I knew I was for mom because I knew I was a really strong, confident mom and I wanted that for... I want that for everyone.
Yeah.
I want everyone to feel happy and confident and doing what they love, which is not just parenting, because your kids are going to grow up and leave you.
Yeah.
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 So was that kind of the reason behind that focus on the mom? Or, you know, your business is shaped so that you're focused on the mom more than the kids, or rather than the kids. So... why is that detail so important to your model?
Okay. So the detail is so important because I realized before I created the business that a family's success lies on mommy feeling happy and confident. And I realized, you know, between everyone in my mom, so there ended up being 12 of us in the mom's group. And I was like, what am I doing differently from my friends in the mom group whose to-do list was a mile long and they're bitching about their baby weight. They couldn't get a haircut. And I was just like, what? You know, in my head, I was just like, well, it's so simple. And they started watching me where we would, you know, we'd go to the mom movie, we'd go to lunch, and then 1 o'clock, I'm like, I gotta go. And they're like, I don't understand where you're going. I'm like, well, Cole's gonna nap from 2 to 4. They're like, what? I'm like, yeah, it's amazing. Like, I'm just gonna like watch The View and hang out. I'm not going to do my email because we didn't have email 12 years ago. Yeah. Yeah. But right, which was, you know, so I was like, I'm just going to watch TV. Yeah.
Simpler times.
I know. So amazing. Though I wouldn't have a business, so I guess like, right, thank God for the email. Keep emailing me, people. Yeah. And they're like, what? Like, that's amazing. I'm like, you should try it. They're like, well, just tell me how to try it. So I, you know, coach them through sleep train, then 9 a.m. nap, 2 o'clock nap. And so then they're like, oh my God, I'm actually so bored because my child is in his bed 16 hours. So, like, I can't wait. Like, literally, my friends would say to me, I can't wait for him to wake up so we can leave the house. Whereas most moms are like, I can't get this kid to nap off my chest. Like, I can't get a minute alone. Whereas all my friends are like, I would love to meet you at 4 o'clock, but he's still napping. You know, I'm like, don't wake him up. Like, just come, you know, when you guys wake up. So I was seeing that I was doing something totally revolutionary, which to me was so simple. Like, we're sleeping, we're on a schedule. I know from, you know, 11 to 2, we would go to the gym. Cole and I would go to the gym. They would feed him lunch. I would work out. I would take a shower. And I would get him at 1:30. We would whip home from, you know, hit the crib by 2, and then he would nap from 2 to 4. And so I always knew what he needed and when I could fit in my time. And so as he was growing up, and then we had a second kid and a third kid, and my husband and I were, you know, able to travel without them having meltdowns without us. They were able to go sleep at grandpa and grandma's house without any. They would just go to sleep because they had been taught, like, that is what you do. You go in your bed and you go to sleep.
Yeah.
And I was realizing the differences were that I had maintained my life and my girlfriends hadn't, and they were doing too much for their kids. And so they had no time to do anything for themselves. Mm-hmm. And so I did 100% set the business up to cater and serve mommy, because I really just came back to, no one is saying to her, you can do it all. You can be happy. You can be successful. And your kids and your family, they'll only thrive and be their own successes without you. And so I did set it up to be focused on mommy. And also because, like, I realized I do have an interest in other people's stories. And I think there's something you know, about me, people, like,
you too.
Yeah. Like, people want to open up, and I always say to new clients, I do a free 15-minute call to, like, get the scoop, mm-hmm. and the first sentence is, this is confidential, judgment-free, mm-hmm. there's nothing you can tell me that I haven't thought myself, done myself, or a client has done or told me, and I don't care, and the way to be the most successful together is for you to be honest.
Yeah.
And I don't care. You just have to tell me and don't hold back. And this must just be something, I think, because they do, like, I am interested and I want to know. And, mm-hmm. and in the end, I want every mom to feel light and happy instead of pinched and stressed and racing 10 feet ahead of their child. Because I've learned life is really short and life is going so quickly. And if you can't just, like, calm your shit, like, what is the point?
Mm-hmm. It's actually really freeing when you realize as a mom that you do have a lot of control over the situation.
You have 100% control. I mean, not 100%, right. But you have control. You're
in
charge.
So much more than you think. I mean, you know, especially
if you know what you're doing.
Yes. But especially with the newborn, things feel so out of control. But you're right. Once you hook into your own kind of power and confidence, you realize, oh, I have a lot of control over this. And once you do that, like, game changer. I mean, the whole thing changes.
Totally.
I think you were smart to wrap it around, because each kid is so unique. How in the world would you address every kid that came in your doors?
There's so I go no to way. Mom.
But whereas moms, we have universal struggles, you know? Yeah. And I also, like, I was with you when we had our oldest almost 14 years ago. When we were 20, so my friends were partying and, like, hungover until 1. And I'm like, does anyone know why my nipples are bleeding? Someone please. Because they were all men, right? Men were commenting about this. So the other part is, like, you're female. You know what it was like to have the
been
hormones.
Been there, done that.
Yes. So, I mean, I think you were very smart as a businesswoman, obviously, to build that around there. And then also just, you know what it's like. So, like, when you, I think that's probably another reason they open up to you, because it's like, oh, she's been there. Okay, I'm going to tell you everything. Right, whereas if it was a man, be like,
no, forget it. Because you know what? Let me tell you something. When that old male pediatrician wrote the book on sleep training, he was not at Target scheduling the plumber with the toddler and the newborn and trying to figure out dinner. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas I'm doing it. Yeah. I'm in the trenches and I understand where you're at. And you know what? You know what? You can look at my picture, all my pictures on Facebook and my social media. You know what? I look like this, but let me tell you, I had 3 pregnancies. I gained 60 pounds every single time. And then it was, like, truly hard work to get the body back, because it felt important to me. I wanted to fit my clothes. I wanted to be I wanted to, like, regain myself. And I have been there, and I have been sleep deprived, dragging my to the gym and making myself work out and be consistent. And I've had tragic stuff happen, but I was able, because I had a really great routine and structure for the boys set up, that our whole family has been able to roll through the punches, because every family has crazy and tragedy and, like, shitty things that happen. But if there's one person in the family goes back to your question, I have to be an advocate and raise her up and say to her, okay, what sucks? Like, what do you miss about your pre-baby life? What isn't going well? What, like, is beating you down? Like, what can we do to change things? And, like, with really small tools to make these changes, like, these moms are, like, flourishing so quickly, and it just is awesome. I love it. Mm-hmm. It just gives me great joy. Yeah.
So what do you think, why do we, so many of us, get caught up in that, of just feeling like motherhood is all consuming and there's really no room left for
I think what happens is, I think it starts with pregnancy. And there's all, you know, all this advice and the books and the internet, and it is a beautiful thing. And it is super scary. And I feel no one is real. And no one is sharing. And no one is giving, like, really simple solutions on the boob, you know, the nipples, how to wean, how to go back to work. And so there isn't, like, a fairy godmother to guide women through this process. So we all get caught up in every Tom, Dick, and Harry's advice, you know, grandma at the Starbucks, all the huge tomes of reading. And so instead of just like picking the right path for the family, everyone is being pulled here and there. And so that's when it becomes all consuming, because you're trying a little bit of this, trying a little bit of that, and nothing's working. Because when you do that, you're giving your child really mixed messages. Children love a strong, confident backbone, structure, routine, just human beings do. That's why humans go to bed, you know, at 10 p.m. That's why we sleep at night. That's why, you know, we all have breakfast around the same time. It's just, that's natural humanity, right? And so when mommy is just being pulled here and there and doesn't have like a straight path, well, then, right, she cannot filter out the garbage, because she then, things aren't going well, and then she starts to break down and she starts to feel like a loser. You know, if your kid's always crying, of course you're going to feel like a loser, because you're going to feel like, well, I hate this crying. It's totally stressful. And I suck at being a mom. I suck at the mom job because my kid sucks. And so then it really becomes like this vicious cycle. And anytime the baby cries, the mommy will just like race in to save him, because she's like, oh, you're always crying. I want to save you and help you do better and feel better and be happier. But if mommy just had the confidence, and that's where I come in, to help her take a step back and realize, well, why is Johnny crying? Johnny's flipping tired. Johnny is tired. And 99% of my families, it goes back to shitty sleep habits. Mm-hmm. The minute a child is sleeping, that next day is a completely different animal compared to before they hired me. And then it just flows from there. And why does motherhood become all-encompassing? I think it just starts very basic. We don't have the tools in how to merge our pre-baby life into the baby life. We don't have the tools to say to our partner and to grandma and to hire a babysitter and to say, this is what I need. No one knows what to do. You bring your baby home and then you're like all over the place. You have all this junk from the hospital and you're trying to feed the kid. The kid won't eat, the kid won't sleep, and then it just snowballs and becomes a really poor cycle. Whereas if you have a person, an expert, come in and be like the baby nurse 12 years ago, or get mom, here's what we're going to do. We're going to put everything in this corner. All your stuff's going to go there. We're going to have the cleaning lady come. We're going to have these, you know, healthy meals set. You're going to eat every 3 hours. And so it becomes all-encompassing, because we are the sole, you know, moms are the whole providers. Daddy's freaking out. Daddy's like, oh my God, I don't want to be a part of this. I'm afraid of this little scrawny chicken baby. And mommy doesn't have the like basic tools, you know, sleep and feeding, and just like snowballs. And then everyone like gets tired and beaten down and flabby, and like no one can like motivate to either go to the gym or just to go to the movie or just like go the happy hour. Like, my greatest joy is when I get a selfie of a family with their like toddler like at 4 p.m. at a bar having a beer. Yeah. And I'm like, that's right. You know why you're having a beer? Because your kid just woke up from his 2-hour nap. He's rested. He's calm. You shoved that kid in the stroller. You walked over to the corner bar and you guys are having a beer because you're having a life. Mm-hmm. And that gives me like, I'm like, home run. They're like, is that okay? I'm like, yes. Yeah. Like, you got to be like a person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I think, you know, what's uniquely female about, I mean, obviously we're talking birth here, but my husband is super nurturing, phenomenal father, but he didn't carry our two birth children for 9 months. Right. And then, I mean, he openly admits, like, until they were like 6 months and could smile, not from passing gas, but because we're funny.
Yeah.
I just was just kind of like, what is this? Thing? You know? Yeah. And again, like, he's like, I loved it. He took 5 billion pictures.
Right.
But not, so I think where I remember, I mean, it's been almost 14 years since my first one, but I remember feeling alienated because it was like, this feels uniquely female, everything, the overwhelming nature of it.
Oh,
you know,
because
he was also overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not to diminish what they go through, but because the physiological stuff with hormones, all of it. So I think that's why it also feels all-encompassing, because you're like, okay, he doesn't get it, so I guess I gotta do it. Because that's...
Right. Someone's gotta do it.
It's our nature, too.
Right, the kid's not gonna feed itself.
Yeah, which is sad. I mean, we have kind of this martyr thing happening, right? Mm-hmm. But it does be... I think that's why, is we're just like, okay, this is me, then. This is what's happening.
This is my job.
Yes, yeah.
And then...
I think that's where our natural set point is, and that's where either good friends or, like, the get moms or your nanny, that's where you have to...
You have to be receptive and listen and speak up and say, I'm floundering, I'm dying here. This is not working.
I need a lifeline. Yeah, absolutely.
So, Erin, you say that being a good parent is art.
Tell us
what you mean by that. How do we become better artists?
All right. Well, okay, but keep in mind, right. So what's funny, I say this, even though I'm like, art is the last thing. Like, I'm never, ever going to sit down and draw with my kids. Like, I'm not an artist. I'm, like, business, black, white, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but this is what I do feel. This is how it kind of works. So I think, like, to be a good parent, you have to be, like, a skilled, creative person. So, okay, if you have the right tools for parenting your child effectively, and then you're giving them the structure, so there's your skill, and a routine with boundaries, but you're creative and you're going with the flow based on the situation, and you're offering them choices, but the choices are still what you ultimately want. Like, I'm huge into being a proactive parent and the art of discipline. So, for example, all day long, I coach moms to offer their children as young as one choices all day long. You want red or blue socks, Chucks or fireman pajamas, ultimately those two choices that mommy's serving up, she doesn't give a shit.
Yeah,
but you know, she knows she's not saying, do you want to wear a yellow raincoat or fire truck pajamas to bed? Like, you know what, she's it's within her control. But the child feels like, oh, I'm in charge, because he is able to make his choices and run his life all day long. Whereas ultimately, you know, joke's on the child, because mommy's in charge, right? So you're offering choices, and then you're off, you know, you're rolling with the punches as the day goes by. And then, like, ultimately, because you are rested and you're doing things like that you enjoy as a mom, then when, you know, life is life. And then when, like, life goes crazy, you're able to just be like, F it, and roll with the punches and laugh. And that's where being a parent is artistic, because you're still laughing at the crazy, but it's so important to parent in a business world with the structure and the routine. But then it's art, because you're rolling with it, because, you know, life's not perfect.
Mm-hmm. And kids are messy. And
yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
You can stretch
such
that.
Dirt balls. Total dirt balls.
Yeah. And I mean, even artists, like, I'm raising, my daughter is just the quintessential artist, you know, and.
She have a beret.
She's like three. Cape. Yeah, but she.
She loves croissants.
She. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but she, so I don't get her mind at all either.
No.
My husband is too. So sometimes, like, the way they see the world, I'm just like, I don't understand you. You're speaking a different language. But she still likes structure in a totally different way than I do. So even an artist does have, like, this fundamental piece of structure.
Right, it goes back to humanity.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
We are humans. We like routine.
Mm-hmm.
It's just different for an artist versus a more business, practical-minded person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that structure, that foundation allows you to then, like, give in to your whimsy, right?
Right.
Because, put your unique stamp on parenting. I mean, I think, you know, when we were sitting down to talk about interviewing you, one of the things was, how does it work to give in to those unique traits of the mom? You know, when you're giving this advice, you have to account for these people, right?
So, oh, yes! So, well, how do I, like, help them trust their instincts? Or
Yeah.
So, you know what? Here's the deal. I'm such a huge proponent of, like, knowing yourself and, like, who you are and what you like and what you're into and what you don't, and having the balls to stand up for yourself. Because again, no one, not even, you know, your closest partner, mother, girlfriend, no one knows you as well as you do. Mm-hmm. And if you have confidence to say to your village or to the people within your home, this is what I need, and this is what we all need to do this weekend, and this is how we should do it, and we're going to have a really good time, and go for it. And I am such a huge advocate for parents to have a good time together, individually, as a couple, and as a family. And that's where it comes into the individual family. And mm-hmm. I will say to them, stop listening, like we were just talking. Stop listening to every Tom, Dick, and Harry's advice. Because you know what? Unless you're living in those people's homes, you have no idea the real reality of what's going on. And they're only telling you what they want to share, and what they're not going to tell you what they're too embarrassed, you know, mm-hmm. unless they're like some weirdo, and then they probably shouldn't be telling you that kind of stuff anyway, because that's weird. But you have to go back to your core, what you need as a person to make you most happy, and that in turn will carry into your family's success.
Mm-hmm. So I feel like new motherhood, it's just sort of this redefinition of what you thought life was, maybe of who you thought you were. Right, right, I mean, I remember that being kind of a traumatic, in the most beautiful way, kind of a traumatic time of just like, I don't think I know who I am anymore. Right, like, sure. Now that I have this child outside of me, I'm not sure anymore what, like, I remember several times feeling a little paralyzed, even like I had the sitter lined up and I thought I knew that I wanted to go sit at a coffee shop, but right. It turned out like I didn't know if I really wanted to do that with those 2 hours. So yeah. How do you help women just sort of understand either to kind of help them embrace the changes that come with motherhood, or help them remember who they were, or help them kind of merge the two all together?
Sure. You know, it starts out with the phone call where we're talking about things, and I ask them the three questions. What are you missing from before you had a baby? What are you missing now? And what are you not able to accomplish? And literally, the list is a mile long. And it truly begins with it's always self-care. Mm-hmm. 100%. And then it's all about alone time. Every mom, it feels guilty to take alone time. And so it's my job to help them understand why it's not healthy for humans to be together 24/7. And I give mommy and her partner tools. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. You know what? You go play volleyball on Tuesday night, hubby. Thursday night, I'm going with the girls. You know, in 2 weeks, we've got a babysitter for Saturday night. It's almost like it's too much for me. I'm like, oh my God, okay, this is like this is like a 2 month plan, 6 month plan, and like a 5 year plan. Mm. Because again, women, they do understand what they're missing. Right. Just because I say to them, all right, Friday morning from 9 to 1, you're going to have your sitter and you're going to go to Starbucks for an hour, doesn't mean that they're going and they're relaxing and chilling. It typically takes them many months until they're able to not keep, you know, checking their mm-hmm. phone like, oh my God, you know, Johnny takes a bottle, you know, did Johnny go down for his nap? Mm-hmm. Because it's totally anxiety ridden, because a new mom feels, this is my job to take care of my child, not to just be like fucking around at Starbucks at 9 a.m. on a Friday. You know, so it's my job to ease her fears and make her realize, well, you know, you hired me because you realize it's not going well, you providing 100% care for your child. And your child has two parents, and your child needs to spend time alone with each of you, and you need to back off and stop hovering over your partner and stop criticizing and just, like, let him do his thing. Because you know what? If the diaper falls off, your baby will live, you know? And your husband will learn, oh, shoot, I should have, you know, closed the tabs more tightly. So it's there's never, they give me a lot of things that they need to do. And then my job is just to help them figure out the time management to fit them all in and to understand, you know what? You were pregnant for 9 months. You get to raise this beautiful child for 18 years. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to be who you were. Let's say, you know, you're 30 when you have your, you know, first child. You're not going to be who you were 9 months after. So it takes a lot of time. And I help them set up small steps in order to get there. And it seems to work. It's fun.
Yeah. Well, and I can't help but be reminded every time, too, that when I am able to have a few quiet moments to myself, that's really when you get that self-reflection and like, oh, this is who I am. Okay, I got to let this go. Maybe put that on the back burner for a couple years because I just don't have the energy. You know, this is, but it's in the quiet. So for new moms, if there's no quiet, either literally because your child's screaming or figuratively because you're going crazy in your head and then you don't have time to really see like, yes, I actually missed the Starbucks. No, I think I just actually saw a girl in like her Lulu, you know, her pants going with her little Starbucks. And it's actually just like the idea of her that I miss, you know, and not that you want to go back there. Right. But you don't get that unless it's quiet.
Sure.
And so what you're saying, really, what I hear you saying is that self-care gets you there. You know, if you do these moments, maybe going to the Starbucks you only need 10 minutes to be like, I don't want to go to Starbucks. I want to go to the gym.
Right.
Or I want to go meet
just
my
get
friends.
My nails done.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Or you know what? I want to run 100 errands.
Yeah.
Because it'll calm my brain down.
Exactly.
Like having this stuff done.
Yes.
Whatever the hell it is you need to do, I don't care what it is. I want Mommy D to feel successful within her four walls. And in order to do that, she has to have the confidence to ask for help. And then have the energy to get the heck out there and take care of herself.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree. You're right. It does start with self-care. Mm-hmm. You have to sleep, you know?
It starts with sleep. You're right. Actually, really that's number one.
Yeah. It starts with sleep.
So between what you have in your being a mom to your three boys and then, you know, helping these other moms, like how do you do you? Where do you find time to do you?
Oh, I do me. Don't worry. Yeah. Well, first off, I've realized it's up to me to say I'm freaking out. I need to do me. And there's different, like, there's variations of that. Like, it totally depends, like, hormonally. Like, if I'm hormonally balanced, you know, it's totally, that's, like, not as bad as, like, oh, my God, we're going DEFCON 5. So, for sure, every day, I'm a really early riser. Like, I go to bed at 9:30, and I'm up by 5:30. It's just, like, naturally how my body clock works. And so, every day, I take a siesta. And every day, after lunch, I am in bed with the remote, no phone, and for 1 hour I watch The Housewives interview because that's where I get my news. And that's just where I'm at in life with the Kardashians. So this the brain trust is happening here, get mom. But that's what I do to like relax. And I outright totally I have to veg. And my friends know they can call me, but I'm probably not going to pick up. And I take like a quick 10-15 minute nap, and then I'm like able to go back into the crazy, go back into the fray. So that like the daily siesta is huge. And you know what? Unfortunately, the siesta doesn't really happen on Saturday and Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like very fortunate, and that's why I'm careful on how I schedule clients, and I make sure to have them in a row to use my time most wisely, mm-hmm. and then to have days off from being with people. And I'm also like really, really cautious of who I spend my free time with. Mm-hmm. And I'm all about, you know what, am I going to step away from this hour and a half lunch, like uplifted, or am I going to like be like irritated and like annoyed with that person in the conversation we just had? So the siesta and then the power of no, and not mm-hmm. having guilt over saying no to invitation or to pushing out people, who want to spend time with me. You know, like, oh, so like yesterday I was walking over to Whole Foods, and this dad, he's like, oh, are you going to the class coffee? I'm like, no, I'm like that. I'm no, I would never do that. Because I just know, like, you know what? I've tried it. I've experienced it throughout the years. You know what? I don't need... Like, I have my core group of friends. I don't have an hour to shoot the shit with the ladies and dad. And you know what? It's not for me. And I don't feel badly about that. Because you know what? I have better stuff to do right now. And thank God that, you know what? I'm thrilled they found each other.
Thank God it's there. Yes.
Yeah, it's there. Yes. You know?
Yeah. It's important. We've talked about that a number of times on the podcast, to just evaluate where your hard no's are, because then you can say yes with
and
great joy.
And feel good about it.
Yes.
Right. You're like, oh, I feel guilty. And then, are you going? Are you going to go? I don't know if I should go. What are you going to wear?
Yeah.
No. Yes or no? You enter.
Yeah, that's what she's like. She doesn't do trivia nights, and right, everybody knows it about it. And it's great for, like, some people love trivia nights, but she's like, the answer is no. Everybody knows Leslie's not going to trivia night. Yeah. and it's fine. Like, she feels great about it.
It's true. And then it does clear space for the things that you want to do.
And it clears up the bullshit, because if you can just say, this is one of my favorite stories. I was in the school garage at pickup. And this mom was selling tickets to the, like, parents' dance. And she's like, well, you know, you guys haven't bought your tickets yet. You know, you have all these kids at this school, and don't you want to go? And I'm like, no. I'm like, that sounds like a nightmare. I'm like, thank God you guys are doing it. Like, I'm so appreciative that you guys are organizing this, and I'm sure it'll be a beautiful night. But no, that is a lot of time for us to commit for our weekly schedule, and it's just not interesting to me. Mm-hmm. And I just stopped talking, and this mom over here is like, oh my God, that is amazing!
Wait, can we say that?
Right.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, zero f***s.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have time to waste. Like, three kids, a business, this house, I'm traveling, like... Gotta take my nap?
Yeah.
No. I didn't go to your dumb dance.
Yeah. Well, and I was at dinner. We were having family dinner, and my daughter's like, the fifth grade always takes a trip to Chicago.
Oh, cool.
And she's like, Mom, please, 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 will you chaperone? I was like, no, honey. That's not me. Oh, God. I'm like, I don't chaperone.
Right.
And she's like, but this mom does this. I'm like, I'm so happy they do.
I know.
Cause you get
Thank God.
You get in their group and they're phenomenal. Right. And so you're well taken care of. Mm-hmm. But like, no, that's not what mommy does. Mommy doesn't chaperone.
Totally.
And again, like, but those moms have, or dads, like, there are some phenomenal dads. They genuinely love doing that.
They
should do that.
Totally.
Whereas if I go, I will ruin it for everybody.
Right.
You know? And
right.
Same with the dance. Like, you would just go... And
be like, when can we go? Right.
Yes. So just, you don't want me at your dance.
No.
Trust, you know?
Thank you.
Yeah, so moms, like, give yourself permission to do that.
Right.
To realize that in you, too.
Some of us have to read books to know how to do that. And so some of us are still working on it. There's actually that. I think you must have read The Life-Changing Magic of Not Giving an F.
No. Wait a minute. I swear to God. Wait a minute. I feel like I just wrote this in my notes
section.
No,
you don't need to read it.
I don't, but no, I know. I am pretty sure.
You exactly
maybe I wrote it. Did I write? No, I
wrote it. I was the ghostwriter.
No, I swear to God. I like always make notes on books.
Yeah, I do too.
And, okay, I have to, continue. So are you reading it? Or are you going to read
she
it?
She did. We read it.
And did you love
we
it?
Did a podcast about it. It was great, and it was freeing, because I am definitely someone who... I'm just such a people pleaser that I would be like, oh, I'll come to your dance.
Yes, it's in my notes section.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I always need it.
Yeah.
Well, but I think it goes back to when I was like all worried that people would laugh if Get Mom was not a success. And it goes back to just like, you know what? You get your life. No one really cares. No one is rocking it. You know, you have good days, you have bad days. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's great that that book has been written. And get on it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So true.
Yeah.
Maybe, I mean,
let's
I want to hear your obsessed
let's do the obsessed session. Because our listeners love hearing what people are obsessed with. Because sometimes, have you ever gotten that where, like, someone's like, oh, have you heard about this? And then you try and you're like, the world has opened up to me. So I think that's why people love hearing about what people are obsessed with.
Yeah,
so give us three things.
Okay, you'll laugh. So I just got back from my annual trip to Canada with my best friends. every year we pick a new city to go to because we love Canada and there's just like amazing
really?
Places.
I'm shocked. I don't know.
You don't love Canada?
The only Canada I've been to was like my uncles and dad and parents forced me to go fishing in a random mosquito infested Canada. So that's my only experience.
Well,
but
there's more to Canada I don't than hear that, mosquitoes.
Okay, I'm excited.
So we're on our fourth city and we just got back from Vancouver, which took us like all like year to fly to, but it was totally worth it. And I, you know how I created Get Mom over my love of drinking wine so that I would have time to drink wine every day. And I love Pinot Noir and I've always loved Oregon Pinot Noir. And I have now learned that British Columbia has even better Pinot Noir than Oregon. So if anyone out there loves Pinot Noir, now the only problem is I have not figured out where to buy the Pinot Noir from BC yet, but I'm going to get on that.
Yeah,
So that was really important to our vacation.
That's fantastic. What
Pinot
a
Noir,
gift.
Right?
What
yeah. All right, what else? I just bought a brand new coat, a baby light pink shearling, like long three-quarter coat, and no one can touch me in it because if they get it dirty, I'm
here. I was just going to say, that
but
is
it's
bold.
So beautiful. Yeah. It's so pretty. I open my closet and I pet it because it's really, really, really pretty. But, I mean, honestly, most importantly, what I'm obsessing over is now, so I have three boys. Cole's 12, Gray is 8, and Wells is 4. And every morning, I open their door. I first see them at 6:30 in the morning. And they have breakfast at 7, and we leave for school at 7:45. So, Groundhog's Day. So, at 6:30, when I open up the 4-year-old's door, he now is already dressed.
What?
I'm just, like, hanging out.
I wonder for how long. Like, do you know how long he's been dressed?
I don't know what he does. Because, again, it goes back to the kids are in their rooms 12 hours at night.
Yeah.
And I don't care if they're awake or asleep. It's not my problem. But it's their job to be in their room and entertain themselves.
And you just
those 12
open
hours.
The door and he's all
and then,
there.
Yeah, he, like, takes off. He takes the shirt off the hanger. And I'm like, oh, my God, your 8-year-old brother is barely, like,
struggling,
he's, like, on socks.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Yeah, so that is, like, game changer.
Yeah.
I don't have to get anyone dressed.
That's
and so at first crazy. I was like, I feel like I'm cheating here. I really kind of feel like I'm cheating because, like, now it's becoming, I mean, it just, like, every month it's becoming easier and easier to be a mom. And but then I say to myself, well, that is truly what your business is about. But then I'm like, but I'm still a person. I'm still, like, like running my own home. But I'm like, oh, my God. But then I'm like, this is what it's all about. I have more time to watch TV.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's so true. We always say that, don't we? We're like, moms, if you have young ones, just know.
It gets better.
Like, there's no way. Sometimes you feel like there's no way it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But it does. Everybody's surprised.
It's unreal. I know.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
But you do. You have to have that foundation. And so, listeners, if you are interested in what Get Mom has to offer, where can they find you?
Well, I want everyone, every listener, not just one of you, I want everyone to email me, go on my website, getmom, GITMOM.com, and you can contact me. I want you to email me. You should tell me what you're obsessing over.
I love it.
And then I'm on Facebook, and I'm on Twitter, and LinkedIn, and some Instagram, but honestly, every day I post something on Facebook with the intent to inspire mommy and make her feel good about herself and give her the confidence and just to rock out on life.
Yeah. Love it.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much.
Mama Bears, today we are going to dare you to reach out. If you feel in over your head, whether it's in work, in motherhood, in your marriage, call a friend. Or if you're in a new town or don't know anyone else in your stage of life, call someone like Erin. You deserve to feel confident, to feel like you. Whether you just had a baby or in a new job, find someone who can either remind you how big of a badass you are or someone who can help you navigate your weaknesses and capitalize on your strengths. Ladies, there is no weakness in asking for help. None. Maybe you just need a 20-minute pedicure. We've all been there, right?
Just this afternoon.
Ask a friend to come over during nap time while you do it. Maybe you need something more intense, like therapy. Well, then ask your friend to come over while you make that a priority. Or hire someone. You are also worth the $6 an hour that you would pay a babysitter.
Six?
Ten.
Let's say 12.
It's been 14 years. You guys, this is important stuff. We were never meant to live in isolation, doing life on our own. So today we just dare you to ask for help and accept it willingly when someone offers it.
Oh, and that can be hard, but that's tricky. So good. So, Mama Bears, thanks for following along. Thanks for listening in to this conversation with Erin. And find us, give us feedback on our social media. We're on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat. Let us know. Let us know what you thought. What was mothering like for you in the early stage? Maybe you're there now. Maybe you need to hop on over to Erin's website and get some advice. But either way, we're so thankful that you chose to spend some of your day with us at the Mama Bear Dares podcast. So Mama Bears, leave a rate or review on iTunes and head back here on Wednesday. And maybe by then we'll have stopped laughing.
Oh, you guys, stick around. I think I'm going to have to put the blooper at the end of this one. You guys have a great week.
And we got a doozy coming up. Do we?
Yeah,
what does it say? Oh, it's marriage. So
we got an okay one.
Yeah. We got a fine one coming up. Good. It's a very good episode.
You're like,
it's not a doozy. It's not about race.
We got a big month coming up, Mama Bears. Just hang on your babies.
Just you wait, Mama Bears. You're gonna regret you ever started this thing.
I don't even know where we finished. How do we get cover?
Let's see. So come back on Wednesday. You never know.
Okay.
So come back on Wednesday where we'll talk about something. So who knows? Oh, my messages are failing again. Sorry.
I'm so excited to hear what you say that I can't. Okay.